Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29, the gospel reading which we have just heard read. Please be seated. We've all gotten a bit of bad news in our life, right? We've all heard something we really didn't want to know, we didn't want to hear, or that really we could be better off hearing without. But on the opposite end of that, sometimes we have to tell people things that they really don't want to hear. Perhaps you had to tell your wife that you burned the cake you were going to make her for your anniversary. Or maybe you put a scratch in your parents' car when you were younger. Or maybe something worse. Maybe the passing of a loved one, a serious illness, or something like that. Sometimes the truth is really, really hard to tell. In fact, telling the truth, being honest, can often lead to excruciating situations when things may be better left unsaid, but the truth must come out. Throughout the Old Testament, this seems to be the way that God works with Israel. Time and time again, Israel is extremely disobedient and they just don't listen. Like a naughty child who runs around screaming all the time, they just don't know what to do and they don't know how to listen, and it happens over and over and over again. God continually sends his prophets to Israel, but they keep disobeying. They keep dishonoring God in their sinful ways, worshiping other gods and not having faith, that they're just so bad that God doesn't know what to do with them. But eventually, he keeps his promise and sends Jesus. Today's gospel reading in Mark deals with the death of John the Baptist. John is often noted as God's last Old Testament prophet, per se, even though he does appear in the New Testament, because he's the last in this line of people that God sends to convict people of their sins and turn them towards repentance and back to God. He also foreshadows the death of Jesus, the death that happens all because of sin. In today's text, we see that God's chosen ones, like John the Baptist and, of course, Jesus, will be despised by many, but God will always show his grace to his people no matter what. First of all, as I said before, sin has often caused many struggles to God's people, and many worldly forces desire to go against God's wishes, and they desire our destruction. Throughout the course of the Bible, in particular the Old Testament Israelites, those who are faithful to God who have not always had an easy path. God's prophets were continually mocked and belittled. Faith definitely isn't a walk in the park. Think about it. The Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years, other people struggling because of their lack of faith. We see this in the New Testament as well. The disobedience that Israel showed towards God was ultimately the result of sin. One instance in particular is noteworthy. The division between Israel and Judah in Kings and in Chronicles is the result of Solomon's, in particular, disobedience and his idolatry. Solomon's lust towards all sorts of women resulted in God's faithfulness and his judgment as well, falling upon Solomon and the division of Israel into two nations, Israel in the north and Judah in the south. The lustfulness that Solomon had showed is much like what we hear in our gospel text today. That lust, that undying, sinful, burning passion that results in destruction. As we heard in verse 18 of our gospel reading, Herod lusts after his brother's wife, who he had already caused a divorce, as well as her daughter. Now, It's pretty obvious that that's not okay. That's really gross. You go after your brother's wife and your niece. But John the Baptist comes along and tells Herod about how sinful he is, how much he's done wrong. But Herod doesn't like this, so he locks him up. John the Baptist told Herod the truth. That truth was so hard to tell. He couldn't hardly bear it. But it was because God called him to say the truth. Herod, because of this, punished him and locked him up. Now, King Herod was always a disgusting man. Who on earth would lust after their brother's wife as well as their stepdaughter? Not only does he completely disobey what John told him, but Herodias also was such a vile and evil woman that she requested his head on a platter in order to follow through with her desires. Herodias not only desired the physical sinful acts with Herod, but Herod also promised her half of his kingdom in return. In this instance, they both turned away from God. They did not have their repentance, yet they did hear God's law. God's prophet John suffered greatly for his faithfulness to God. But really, though, those lustful desires, those sinful acts, we all struggle with those same things. Would we not say we would do the same if somebody told us we were doing wrong? Would we always honor God in everything we did and reject the worldly desires of the flesh? The answer is no. We daily struggle with these problems. It might not always be lust, but it could be things like coveting. We could want what our neighbor has. We always feel jealous of what other people have. We always want more. We really don't know how to control ourselves. We're constantly bombarded on TV, on the radio, in the news, always with ads trying to buy the next big thing. We struggle with the same sin that has been around for thousands of years. It's hard to flee from that sin. In fact, it's impossible. Our daily struggle with sin and our striving towards a sanctified life falls short simply because we're human. Now, even though we sin against God daily through our worldly desires for different things, God still keeps his faithfulness like he did with Old Testament Israel and his people because of his work on the cross through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, even though lust led to the death of John the Baptist, all the sin of all the world, every sin including lust, greed, whatever, all of it, was taken on the cross through Jesus Christ. John certainly suffered because of his faithfulness to God. But in this way, John foreshadowed Jesus, because they both died as a result of the sins of others. Jesus did take on all of our sinful and fleshly desires on the cross. But this work, this awesome and completely indescribable work, was for us. The daily sins we commit, all the sins of all the world throughout all space and time were on that cross. Our fleshly desires, our sinful wants, and all of our evil deeds, all of them. Yet this was not some sort of action to force us to behave. No. Jesus went to the cross purely out of grace for you. The same God that continually struck down Israel and punished the evil kings and people throughout the Old Testament, came to earth and suffered and died on behalf of you and me. The truth of the gospel certainly isn't easy to understand. By the grace of God, though, he sent his son who died for us and conquered the effects of these sins, of death and the power of the devil forever. Our epistle lesson for today from Ephesians says, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." In this, Paul writes his message to those who are struggling against sin in Ephesus, much worse than the sins that probably we know of. Ephesus was a dirty place. They struggled with all sorts of different things. But Paul still exhorts them and calls them saints. Through the redemption of Jesus' blood, they too were redeemed. And so are we. In Jesus and Jesus alone, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and only through the blood of Jesus Christ. The gospel does free us from our sin. And though we are set free from the ultimate consequence of sin, eternal damnation, we continue to live on God's promises while we are here on earth. Even though we may still struggle in this world, and even some suffer death because of their faithfulness, like John the Baptist, God continually grants us his grace as our inheritance. We do indeed struggle with outside forces. Christians today struggle all over the world because of their unfaithfulness. Though we may suffer greatly, and indeed many Christians do, God continually grants us grace, physical grace, tangible grace, through word and through sacrament. We do not receive earthly riches because of our faith. Contrary to what many people say, indeed there is always suffering. We receive something much, much greater than any riches that the world could contain. Right here, right now, we have God's word. And we have God's sacrament. Through baptism, we were made the sons and daughters of God. Through the sacrament of the altar, we are continually reminded of God's grace to us. The good news of Jesus Christ proclaimed from this pulpit, either by pastor or many who have come before, is the word of God living today. Through this, we receive our crown of life. Through this, we receive our eternal inheritance. Our salvation comes through Jesus Christ, through our baptism, through the Lord's Supper. Through these tangible and physical means, we are sealed in the victory in Christ over sin. Through the church as well, we receive the gospel. We receive the gospel not only through what we hear or read, but we can see, taste, and touch. Through the means of grace, our faith is continually strengthened and our sins are forgiven. So as we close, John the Baptist suffered greatly and suffered at the hands of merciless humans. Martyrs throughout the church have suffered because of their faithfulness to God. Prophets in the Old Testament were shunned because of their faithfulness. We see now both ends of this relationship. We too suffer because of our faithfulness, but we also suffer because of our sin. But the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ has covered both of these problems. Through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross, we are saved and made sons and daughters of God. We now live in his eternal promise of life and salvation. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.